Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Bucks won a f***ing NBA championship.
Yeah!
What? What?
He tries to take a pulse fake.
Watching that basketball game, like, caused health problems for me.
Boogie hates racism and Chris Paul. And who cannot get on board with that platform?
If I've learned a lot, this... I'm not going to say it. That sounds too
bad.
No.
The Bucks do win it all. Pat Connaughton's numbers should be in the rafters.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep Milwaukee Bucks podcast, probably a part of the Eurostep Podcast Network, aka GSPN and Blue Wire. I am Ty Windisch, one of your hosts, joined as always by the, you know what, I'll say the missing out, because he's not a succession watcher yet, Rohan Kadi. Rohan, fuck off.
I'm assuming that's a reference.
No, so. I just, yeah.
It's, oh, just keeps casually in the morning, every Monday morning. I just get fuck off.
Well, now we also get to do an expletive pod now. So Succession is coming through today. How's it going?
I'm doing well. Doing
Are you still
well,
doing well like, after I told you that?
Oh, always.
Okay,
always.
You make it sound like I swear at you regularly and you're used to it. I don't want that to be
a little
perception.
Inside baseball, everyone. This is how Ty normally greets me. Whenever I join the Zoom call, Ty's just like, hey, fuck off, by the way, you piece of shit.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding, obviously. I'm doing well on this Eurostep Monday. It's a good time. If I seem a little bit excited, Ty.
Yeah. Oh, it's why, because why, Rohan?
We've got something coming up.
Oh.
We've been talking about this for a little while now. We've been asking you guys to fill out a form talking about a potential live event. But on Tuesday, April 4th, we have finalized our details for our live event. Me, Ty, Jordan, Newmark, yep. Andrew, and Adam are all going to be hosting a watch-along for Brewers, Mets, Bucks, Wizards, Tuesday, April 4th at Pilot Project, which is in the Brewery District in Milwaukee. It is around a block west of Fiserv Forum, and we can't wait to have you all there.
It is going to be so fun. I can't wait. I am very, very excited. So yes, definitely excited for that. Clear your calendars. Thank you to everyone who took the time to fill out the form to, you know, give us a good idea of what kind of venue space to look at, where we think Pilot's going to be perfect. We are very excited to hopefully watch the Bucks and Brewers get big wins. Knowing the Bucks and Brewers, well, maybe not the Brewers, or not the, regardless, you know what? I'll just be positive. Get big wins. That's what it's going to be. Big, big wins. All the wins for the Brewers are big because they are going to be fighting for the division lead, hopefully, this season. And all the wins for the Bucks are big because we're deep into standings watch now. Rohan, I think there's 8 games remaining in the season.
That's insane, by the way. Can we take a moment
fast.
To appreciate that?
Yeah.
Right? Like that, we were talking last episode, but that Wes Matthews game winner against the Sixers in the first game
opening
of the season
night, yeah,
feels like eons ago.
It does. It does. I almost spoiled. I'm going to share something fun on Twitter after the next win, hopefully tonight. Tonight is Pistons at 6 p.m. in Detroit. So, but a little throwback. But yeah, pretty excited. But I'm excited we're almost to the playoffs because we know that's what the Bucks' goals are. But before we talk standings watch and playoffs talk, we won't do a playoffs preview yet today. Maybe next week as we get a little closer to the actual playoff starting. We'll figure that out, but kind of looking ahead at potential opponents in each round. We have to talk about the Denver game at least a little bit and the MVP award. So obviously things did not go to plan for the Bucks in Denver. Really one of those frustrating games where frustrating for the Bucks, who lost their composure and got a couple techs. Although, you know, the officiating, the Giannis tech I thought was kind of ridiculous. Giannis, though, has 31, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Nobody else has more than 13 points. So just one of those games where the help wasn't there. Drew doesn't play well. Chris doesn't play particularly well. Nobody else really able to step up. And Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets, you know, a pretty close game through a half. And then they really pull away in the second half and things get out of hand. But Rohan, my question to you is not too focused on this game. Second night of a back-to-back in Denver. The Nuggets punted a similar game in Milwaukee earlier this year. The Bucks tried and just didn't pull it off. Do you think this game, and we haven't talked about this before, so I don't know your actual take here, is this game the death knell for Giannis's MVP case?
Unfortunately, I think so.
Oh, we disagree. We get to have a good old-fashioned Eurostep debate here.
So here's the thing. I think I know where your argument is headed because the Bucks still have marquee games left against Philly. They still have marquee game left against Boston this Thursday. Bitch, by the way, we're really doing explicit.
Yeah, I was gonna say, geez.
We are hosting a playback for that game, and you can find that the link to that playback room at gspn.info.
It's too early
you can
for find Rohan. All of our
I'm breaking right now. But you can find a link to that room at gspn.info, as well as all of our links to all of our podcasts, our Substack, our merch store. Everything is at gspn.info, including that playback room link. Come watch the game with us. It's going to be a great time.
Yes.
Excited. But they do have that game left against Boston this Thursday. And those are two of the best teams in the league. Probably the two, like the second and third best team in the league, you'd probably say.
Yeah.
It's crazy that the three best teams in the league are in the East. But it's just it's been trending that way all season long.
Yeah.
Especially as of late with Philly coming back into the mix. But even though they have those two games left, I feel like there hasn't been enough of a body of work of Giannis doing this against good teams this season. In games that the Bucks have won. How about that?
Yeah. Wasn't he really good in the Clippers game? I guess no one cares about the Clippers. Yeah.
The Clippers aren't an elite team. Well, RIP to my season projections, but
Some of the issue is, the two losses against Philly, Denver skips the game in Milwaukee, Boston skips a game in Milwaukee. I mean, I don't know what the sample size is for other guys. I did think it was funny. Embiid's MVP odds improved after he had a similar game to Giannis and the Sixers lost against the Warriors on the road. I know that game was closer. But it's just kind of...
I don't even know if that was a similar game. Embiid had 45 or something.
Oh, well. Giannis probably could have if the Bucks didn't punt. So Jokic could get that plus minus even higher by playing the starters
Were people upset at you about that tweet?
Yeah, of course. I said I was whining.
Give the context.
I asked a question. I said, do the Nuggets always play their starters up 20 with 3 minutes remaining in games? And if so, why do we care about the stats that this influences? And, it's like, okay, well, I'm just asking a question here.
Yeah, I mean the Nuggets that plus minus is really going to get helped when Jokic is posting up Lindell Wigginton. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, congratulations to the 0.1% that increased because of. But, I think the recency bias is big, and I think that's why Embiid is even in this race, because like Embiid and the Sixers were pretty cheeks for like 20% of the season to start, and I feel like that just isn't really factored in much anymore. And I do think the voters, I do think they're mostly undecided. I know that Jokic and Embiid are a lot closer than Giannis. I do feel like the anti-Jokic sentiment is just kind of out there. And in some aspects, if one of Embiid or Giannis takes it, I think they could still both win. I think Embiid's road is easier, and he has been better lately, and the Sixers have been a little better lately. But I think this week coming up, a big win, big wins over Boston and Philly, and we'll get to talking about this in detail. more or less seal up the Bucks for the best record, probably in the league, depending on what Denver does. If they feel like playing like they did against Milwaukee anymore, if they're just going to punt through the rest of their games again. But it will probably firm up the one seed in the East, at least, which, as you said, is the more competitive conference. And I think at a certain point, you know, if Giannis has these incredible games against those teams, the Bucks win, really proving, underscoring the, and I think this case has been misrepresented, best player on the best team. For Giannis, it's the best player in the league on the best team in the league, the most dominant player in the league, you know, the best two-way player, all this stuff. I think that case can still be made. I don't think it's a slam dunk that he wins if they play well in those two games, but I do think that it will take now like 80 points and two wins between those two games, which is certainly possible. And I mean, these are going to be games that matter more to the Bucks realistically than the Denver game, although you could tell they wanted the Denver game. It sucks that Boston is also second night of a back-to-back, but at least it's not in freaking Denver, which is just, I'm really glad again that the Bucks handled business in that Utah game beforehand, because that's just a treacherous back-to-back, Utah and Denver. So tough outcome, and I think it does certainly make it harder. I also think, thankfully, LeBron returning later that weekend and all this Luka and Maverick stuff, I feel like it hasn't been that much of a talking point. Maybe got a little overshadowed. Maybe that's the nice part about people not caring about Milwaukee and Denver unless they have to, is LeBron's return and Luka's tech and the Maverick slide has been all the headlines. So I'm like, oh, cool. And we don't have to talk about that game ever again. Perfect.
It's always fun seeing Denver Milwaukee never be like a TNT or ABC.
Was ESPN that NBA match. TV? I think
it was NBA TV.
But is Saturday night? Are there marquee? I never remember what the
ABC has Saturday, and they also have Sunday.
Yeah, so they could have, but
they could have, and especially like that game earlier in Milwaukee this season that you referenced, where Denver was on the second night of a back-to-back as well, a road back-to-back. That wasn't even an NBA TV game. That was just local broadcast, which, by the way, people in Denver don't have. So
that's hilarious that, I mean, you just think, okay, the last four MVP awards are slated, obviously they didn't both play in one of the games, but slated to play twice this year. Should we put one of these on national TV and make sure it's not a road second night of a back-to-back for one of the teams? No. Let's make sure Knicks Lakers has 45 games on national TV. But
a Bucks Nuggets finals would be on Bally Sports Plus.
Yeah, which probably won't even exist.
Exactly.
But yeah, any other thoughts on that game? Or how much? Oh, here, I was going to ask you this actually. Would you? And I'm not going to do the stupid version of this question. That's like, would you rather have Giannis win MVP or Finals MVP? Like, obviously, we want the championship more. But would you rather have Giannis win MVP or the Bucks get the one seed? So not saying anything past that, just for regular season-wise, what matters more to you at this point?
One seed, 100%.
I agree.
I think I've been talking about, for the last couple of weeks, about how ridiculously important this number one seed is to get for the Milwaukee Bucks, because it's just making your path to the playoffs as easy as possible. I just mentioned Boston and Philly are the second best team and third best team in the entire freaking league.
Yeah.
Why would you want to play both of them?
Exactly. The harder like, path people, I don't want to hear it this year.
It like, why? Why do you want to make, like, it's that meme of Damian Lillard, like, stop giving me your toughest battles. Like, bro, just leave. Just, it's that. But it's the Milwaukee Bucks in their playoff run. It's
I agree entirely.
take the easier path. Why would you not want to take the easier path where you would have home court advantage throughout the entire playoffs?
Yep.
Especially a team that has, I believe, tied for the fourth best home record in the league this season.
Yeah.
And I think the best road record, I want to say, which is fine, but like...
Boston is a game better, and Philly is tied now.
Yeah, one of the best road records in the league, but you also have one of the best home records in the league. And the only way that the Bucks lose in Fiserv in the playoffs is if Ty is there or if they don't have Chris Middleton.
Yes, those technically are the two circumstances that has happened. So, actually, did they lose with Chris against Chicago at home?
I think that was in Chicago.
Oh, was it? Okay. I'm going to have to fact check you. We'll see.
You might. I'm. Yeah. Actually, you might be right.
I thought that's why it was extra disappointing. But whatever. Worthless playoffs because the Bucks didn't win at all, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, I agree. It's just so important. And, you know, if you want to say Denver's better than Philly or whatever, three of the best four teams in the league, and you can ensure that you only play at most two of them and that you get to the conference finals without playing either of them. Also, I was listening to the Hoop Collective, which is like as much of a social experiment as a podcast, I think. Like, really just a fascinating, like...
What's that like?
So McMahon, who I genuinely enjoy, Tim McMahon, hates Bontemps, and they all shit on each other as much as possible. And it's like they barely get the analysis in between taking shots. It's like just a very strange experience. Of course, Bobby Marks was on recently. I had to listen to Bobby Marks. No Washingtons in the whole pod, which disappointed me. But they were talking about the reason I bring this up. Like Cleveland being a little worried, Miami might catch up to, might get five. Miami is currently two games outside of the fifth seed. And apparently the thought is the Cavs do not want any part of the Heat. You know, Bontemps was saying Jimmy Butler is the best player in that series. I was like, whoa, maybe, I don't know. Donovan Mitchell's pretty great player too. But the Knicks falling apart, the Nets just not good. We know they're not very good. Fun story, they're fighting to cling in the top six.
They beat the Heat by 20 or something the other day.
They're fun, they're not good. I don't think the Heat are very good either, but the new all-time dream scenario is if the Heat do get to five, if the Heat somehow beat the Cavs, this is the easiest Bucks bracket ever. I mean, the conference finals will still be quite hard. That there's no real getting around. But, I mean, the Heat are just, for whatever problems they could give another team, I think they give no problems to Milwaukee. And I know I'm on record already saying this when I talked about I'd rather see them as the first round opponent than pretty much any other play-in team because their spacing is just so bad. I think Chicago is probably easier, right? But, like, I'd rather see the Heat than pretty much anyone because we just know how it goes. Giannis on Jimmy. Brook on Bam, they're not going to score enough. They win one game at most if Tyler Hero and Jimmy shoot like 85% from three. Otherwise, they just don't have the points. And their depth is horrible. Horrible. Kevin Love starts for them sometimes. Kevin Love. The Cavs were like, yeah, go home. We don't want you. He starts for them. Bad team. But anyway, of course, the other dream scenario is they actually end up six and they beat one of Boston or Philly. I don't think it matters because I can't imagine they beat both, but that would be hilarious if one of those teams lost in the first round. It would be
Philly.
Can
you imagine if both of them did?
No, I really can't imagine. Who else would beat one of them? Toronto gets revenge on Philly?
Oh my goodness. Wait, revenge for what?
They just beat them last playoffs, right?
Oh, that's true.
And Embiid shattered Scottie Barnes' ankle. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. I thought you were going to say revenge for the Kawhi shot. And I was like, wait, Philly won that.
No, yeah, no. Not.
Or no, no, Toronto won that. What are you talking about?
I don't trust Atlanta to beat anyone.
I was going to say Atlanta probably has the highest potential.
No, I think they're going to lose out of the play-in. That team sucks.
They do suck. I agree with you. They are a terrible basketball team.
Every other team down there has an excuse for being down there. They don't. They've been healthy all year. They just traded for a star. They went to the conference finals 2 years ago. They just suck. They're bad. Something is wrong there. You know what's wrong?
Trae Young.
Yeah. Trae Young hates defense. John Collins doesn't really play defense. They're going to rebuild it around DeJounte and just like turn themselves into the underwhelming Spurs from a couple of years ago. Very weird org. Anyway.
Yeah, I guess, but my thought is like out of those teams, probably the best player is Trae Young.
No, Jimmy's better.
Oh, I mean, I outside of Miami.
In the play-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Toronto would just manhandle the Hawks. I have seen, though, people getting carried away and saying, like, the Bucks wouldn't want to see the Raptors in the first round. It's like, they don't care.
They do not care. They don't. They'd probably lose one game because...
Yeah, the Raptors, I mean, here's the thing with the Raptors. No one ever fails to consider. And I've just seen this wait. Oh, look how good they are now. Yeah, they play their six good players 40 minutes a game. And you know what happens in the playoffs? Everyone does that. And then Toronto's advantage disappears. I've seen this happen too many times in recent. Oh my God, look at how, yeah, of course they're, Fred VanVleet is playing 44 minutes a night and just had a kid. Like, of course they're going to look good. The problem is they run out of gas. And then all the other teams are like, oh, we'll do this now because the games matter. And we're not going to do that every night of the year because we're not ridiculous tryhards like you guys. Every year this happens. Except post Kawhi. Well, you know, obviously they didn't play him that often. He would have left earlier, but.
Even though he left as early as possible.
He would have left midseason. If they were like, yeah, we need you to play 44, he'd been like, okay, I'm gonna go somewhere else. I don't know where he hangs out. Idaho? Who knows?
Wyoming.
Not even like on a ranch. He's just like in some mid-sized Wyoming. He's in whatever Wyoming town. I thought I could think of one, but I can't. Cheyenne.
Cheyenne, yeah.
Cheyenne, Wyoming.
That's because he's just got a condo. That's the capital, right?
I don't know. Our four Wyoming listeners are going to be very disappointed in this.
Yep, it's the capital.
Okay.
But
standings watch.
Yes. It does look like, I'll ask you this and then we can talk about why.
Yeah.
Do you think the Bucks are going to get the one seed?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, why?
They're better than the other teams in the East and they're going to beat them.
Okay, so you're saying that if the Bucks beat Boston, they beat Philly, they get the one seed pretty much locked up?
More or less. I mean, you got to. I mean, take care of business today against Detroit. This should be a game that doesn't take too much. Revenge game against Indiana on Wednesday. Yeah, that one's gonna be tough because they're still kind of rest disadvantaged after being gone for so long. But they kind of need to win fast because they have Boston the next night. Thankfully, as we'll talk about shortly, there's some reinforcements coming back, which should help a lot with managing these back-to-backs. And I think would have probably made a big difference in Denver as well, although they probably lose that game almost no matter what. Denver actually did play well for once in that basketball game. But yeah, I just think they're going to take care of business. I think they certainly owe Philly after having a couple ugly losses. I think they owe one to Boston as well. And I just think that they're better, and it's not, even though it's a back-to-back for Boston, it's not as difficult as the Utah-Denver one. And I just think they're going to be able to handle business there. Boston's very good at home, but not as good as Denver. Clearly, it's a little bit different with the elevation and everything going on there. So, yeah, I still think they're going to get it. And I think really the Boston game now is the most important one. So Philly had surpassed Boston. That is now gone. Philly's on the West Coast on a pretty tough road trip. It's caught up to them. They've lost two in a row. They're now four games back of the Bucks with only eight to play. Milwaukee's magic number to always finish ahead of Philly is now five. So even if they lose that Philly game, like they play five bad teams remaining. It's Pistons, Pacers, Wizards, Bulls, Raptors. So if you win all five of those, Philly can never pass you no matter what else happens. So that Philly game is still important, really, for narratives and just to really make sure that it's not close going late in the season. But that game is honestly a little less important. The Boston game on Thursday is now the one that matters the most. Boston's 1.5 games back, two games in the loss column. But if you win that, you also have the tiebreaker. So really, it's that game and taking care of business now. And I just think they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, especially because they had this little Western Conference road trip and like a little mini slide, as you would consider for the Bucks. I mean, they've lost like after winning, what was it, 16, 17 in a row?
Yeah.
They've now lost a game a week for the past 4 weeks.
Sucks. I hate when they do that.
Yeah. And three of their four losses in this last month, by the way, have all come on Saturdays. I don't know what that means.
But I'm glad they play the Sixers on a Sunday. That's what that means.
Yeah. And of course, losing to the Pacers at home on a Thursday is weird.
Yeah, that game. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't end up mattering. I don't think it'll end up mattering.
I don't know. Jordan Wura might go for 50 and a quarter this time.
I need that revenge win, by the way, on Wednesday. Obviously, I'm more excited for Boston, but I'm not excited at all to watch the pathetic Detroit Pistons.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it's
sad.
Yeah, I think the Bucks could roll out their garbage time lineup and wipe the floor.
Lindell Wigginton's giving them buckets.
Lindell Wigginton is putting up 50.
Well, let's okay. Let's not put unrealistic expectations on our guy Lindell. Do you think the Bucks will get the one seed?
I do think the Bucks will get the one seed, and I think it's because they have the cushion.
Yeah.
And they just need to take care of business. Like, let's say you even lose that Boston game. Let's say you lose that Boston game. You have enough other games remaining against lower level teams where it shouldn't end up mattering.
The one thing is Boston does get the tiebreaker then. It's 1-1 now. They only played three times this year. So that's why that one game, if you win it, right? Again, putting aside all other games for now, the Boston is at 24 losses and would need the Bucks to finish with 25 to get the one seed at that point because of the tiebreaker. So, and Philly would need the Bucks to finish at 25 because they have 25. So that means, and that's one game, so there's seven. That means all the Bucks need to do is go 4-3 in their other seven games. And for sure, I mean, that's pending any other losses by Boston and Philly. For sure, they're the one seed because they would finish with 24 losses and always be ahead of Boston or Philly. So that's it now. That's kind of it. Like, you win that game, it's almost difficult to choke away the one seed from there. Again, I mentioned they all also play Detroit, Indiana, especially if you win those two games going into Boston. Then it's like you win the Boston game and there's only, what, five games remaining? Philly, Washington, Chicago, Memphis at home, thankfully, and Raptors on the road. And all you need to do is win two of them. Three of them. You need to win three of them. Again, pending any losses by the other teams, that makes it easier.
Yes. And those teams are going to lose games. Like,
yeah, I don't think either will go out undefeated. Let me pull up their schedules quick, but you go ahead and talk.
Philly has Denver and Dallas in their next two games, and whatever we want to talk about Dallas, who, by the way, have lost two games in a row to the Charlotte Hornets.
Trash team. Trash org, absolutely. Actually.
Yeah. Protesting a loss, even though they messed up.
The refs clearly messed that up, but it's hilarious, so I'll let
it
slide.
Did they really mess it up?
Yeah, they shouldn't have inbounded. They did it wrong.
Why shouldn't they have been? It's not the refs' fault that they're guarding the wrong basket.
Well, there was confusion on who was getting the ball.
Even if. Why aren't you, like, why are you on the other side?
It's been explained to me that they the refs were probably more in the wrong, but the Mavs were also wrong.
Yeah, the Mavs, like, sure, the refs could have made it a little more clear, but regardless, the Mavs were still wrong.
Yeah.
However, they still, actually, no, they're not a good team.
No, trash team. Kyrie's super leaving.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, the Sixers schedule is actually really hard. They're in Denver today. Then they host the Mavericks Wednesday. Then they host the Raptors Friday. Bucks Sunday. Celtics Tuesday. Heat Thursday. In Atlanta Friday, the next Friday. And then in Brooklyn. The Mavericks are probably the worst team they're going to play. Because Luka, oh no, he'll probably be back by then. He's missing a game because he throws temper tantrums every night and got his 16th tech of the year. So that's a really hard schedule. So again, any other losses mean that the Bucks cushion is even bigger. And then Celtics are at Wizards Tuesday, Bucks Thursday, host the Jazz Friday, travel to Philly on Tuesday, Wednesday Raptors, Friday Raptors, and then host the Hawks to end the year. So not very difficult, but like the Sixers game will be hard. Probably going to have to root for the Sixers in that one, unfortunately.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
And then I would trust the Raptors.
We'll be keeping an eye on that game at our watch party.
That's true. It's a big night, that watch party. I hope the Raptors can take one of those two. They're both in Boston, which makes it tough, but it's possible. The Raptors have been playing well since they got a real center. Also, I feel like Masai Ujiri is really ducking a lot of shade for his all wings thing, just blowing up in his face.
Yeah.
Why maybe, is no one holding
the,
that
maybe
accountable?
Maybe it's the Bobby Webster promotion.
Toronto in general, then. Like, it failed. It horribly failed. And they had to give up a first-round pick and I think more to get a center on an expiring contract. And, oh, they're now, you know, a mid-tier playoff team like they always wanted to be. It's like, yeah, your wing thing failed. It looked dumb at the time. It is dumb. It failed. I just wanted to say that because I feel like no one cares. I get it. They're not that important. But failure.
It is a failure. The Raptors are not what you would consider a model team building strategy right now.
Correct. Their drafting fell apart because drafting is so wishy-washy. Speaking of drafting, real quick, garbage time Marjan's been exciting.
Oh, yeah. Marjan has been exciting. It's crazy. Like he's been down with the herd a lot. He's up with the herd a lot. I always get that confused. I don't know. It just feels right to say down with.
Well, that's like you can go either way. I mean, it's you know, you're being sent down to the G League, but Oshkosh is north. So you can, I think both are kind of correct. Just don't go like, you know, he's sent west to the herd. That doesn't work.
He went across the ocean to the herd.
That's definitely, it would take him a long time to get there and back.
But no, Marjan's been with the herd, and we haven't really seen him in Bucks action in a while. Like even during garbage time, it hadn't been like you're not really seeing Marjan do a whole lot. But it helps that the Bucks were just blowing out teams.
It was Utah and San Antonio, right?
Mm-hmm. Each 30-plus point victories, and you get an entire quarter of garbage time against the Jazz, even like a quarter plus. Like sorry, but Thanasis is checking in at the end of the third quarter.
That was fun. I'm glad to see him back. Glad to just see him back in general. I know he doesn't want to talk about it. I'm fine with that, but hopefully everything is well now. And
And let me just give the people a little word of advice.
Yeah.
If someone is away from the team and the team declines to comment on it, they know. Yeah. That means you probably shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, if the team is fine with it and thinks it's valid, then I do too.
Exactly.
And even if because they don't, maybe I do. But for sure, if they do, then I do.
Then that's the team is the only entity that really needs to know.
Yeah.
So maybe don't be too nosy. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I agree, and I'm not being nosy. The Andrew Wiggins thing is just crazy, though, and I don't think anyone deserves to know. It's his private matter, but just the stakes and his role in the team. It's a crazy story, but.
Yeah, I just hope everything's okay.
I hope everything's okay, and he's certainly do his privacy on the matter, as any of us would be if something was going down in our personal lives, whatever else. But it is just like, a wow, didn't expect to see that happen. But anyway, Thanasis back had a couple dunks, but Marjan, and again, I think I shared this on Twitter, like, I am both extremely excited about Marjan's future and totally at peace with him not playing most nights because the roster is better. You know, they don't have to rely on this rookie as they shouldn't. A contender should never draft a guy in the bottom of the first round and then go, yeah, we need you to play every night. If they can, that's great. Like Walker Kessler walked into being a great every night center who looks tiny next to Brook Lopez. That was crazy. He's a 7-footer. I know he's very big. I know he's been dominant at the rim. Brook was pushing that guy around. Wild to watch. But Marjan, I think, totally has a role. Maybe as soon as next season. The development seems to be going well. He's played really well with the Herd lately. Their season's basically over, I think, on like Tuesday, or maybe even now it's done. But I'm really excited about Marjan long term, and I think he's going to be a player. I think the flashes we've seen are very encouraging, and I just don't think there's any reason to think that him not playing with the Bucks every night is detrimental, because he's still getting in work with all these wings and getting to play with the Herd a bit. And I think he is going to develop into a hell of a player. Very excited about that.
His offensive game looks so much more refined than it did early on in the season, which is understandable because you're just coming into the NBA after not being in probably the best environment to really
hasn't played much in general over all his stops. Just not a lot of basketball minutes and organized ball.
Exactly. So it's like you're going to see a little bit of just disjointed play from him. And like, it's just that's who he is. He's a raw prospect. But on the offensive end, it's getting a lot more refined. Defensively, the instincts and the length, they're still there. Like that's what's going to get him in the door for playing time is defense. And the offense is just a really good bonus. And that bonus is really looking like it could be a strength down the road.
Yeah. And I think, you know, not going to do a whole team building thing right now because we need to see the playoffs either way. But Wesley Matthews, Joe Ingles, Jay Crowder, Chris Middleton, all potentially hitting free agency this year. Like that wing position is ridiculously deep right now. Hopefully all or most of those guys are back, but we won't know, right? We just don't know right now. So Marjan, I think, could well be looking at more minutes, and maybe a decision on some of those players could have to do with Marjan and how he's coming along and knowing that, you know, for another 3 years, you've got this guy who seems like he's just about ready to play. If you don't rely on him as much as some of these vets, of course, but you know, it's got to be a good feeling knowing that the wing position, even if you don't re-sign all of those guys, you're still going to have some more options. Obviously, Pat and Grayson both under contract as well. So, you know, the cupboard won't be bare, but could be a lot different next year. Who knows? Or maybe not. Maybe they'll run them all back. That'd be cool.
It would be cool. But also, just again on Marjan, I saw you at there was a tweet about Chris Middleton's like,
oh yeah, the shot trajectory. The shot profile. Yeah, because he was like shot profile. It was like using the data to say like, oh, he was a catch and shoot, then he was a 3-and-D, and then he was a creator, and now he's like a star pick and roll initiator or whatever it is. Yeah.
And you said this is Marjan in like 2033 or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be exciting for sure.
Honestly, he'd probably take the turn sooner because I feel like he's closer to being the initiator than Chris was at this same time.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris was a second round pick, trade throw in. He scrapped his way to minutes. I'm not taking anything away from Chris or saying Marjan is going to be better than Chris Middleton. That would be a wild turn of events. I'm just saying he may get
it's like
to that.
The Packers succession line of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but with Bucks wings. Oh, my God.
They should start trading for guys who were drafted in the 40s by Detroit. Just right. Can we get Isaiah Livers in here? Just to see. I know they're excited about him. That was the only Isaiah Livers convo of the podcast for sure. But the Bucks. So this schedule. I just think it's the Boston game is what it's going to come down to.
Where's
all
Kim
important
English?
Now. Oh, is that who they drafted in the 40s last year?
No, that was 2012. I'm looking in the 40s. Isaiah Livers, 42. Where's Isaiah Roby? Kyrie Thomas. Bruce Brown?
Kyrie Thomas, I thought, could be that kind of player. I like Kyrie Thomas coming out. Anyway, no, but let's not do
Darren Hilliard.
No. I'm going to say no because I don't know if he's
Tony Mitchell, Peyton Siva,
Chris Middleton. Yeah. Are these just all players drafted in that spot?
No, this is just second round.
Oh, okay.
Kyle Singler.
Oh, God.
Vernon Macklin.
Don't remember him
Tariq
at all.
Tariq White. Okay, I'm done. Okay.
Thank goodness. So the nice thing about the Bucks handling business on both ends of a back-to-back usually, obviously it'll be big for the Pacers-Celtics. There's another back-to-back remaining that's going to be quietly important just to take care of business at Wizards home Bulls. And it's like both of those teams are going to be fighting for play-in. Probably, maybe the Wizards will let go, honestly. The Wizards, what have they fallen to? I know my bit this year has been want something as bad as the Wizards want 10th Wizards in the are East. 12. They're 12th. They're 3.5 games back from 10. They could actually be done by then. Beal might get shut down.
Dame's been shut down.
Dame has been shut down. Are they farther or closer? The Blazers are 4.5 back from 10. Yeah. They are 13th.
They were 3.5 back when it was shut down.
So, and this would be 4 games between then and now. So the Wizards could be actually eliminated by then, which would be a big deal for that game. I think the Bulls are always going to be in the running. They are now the team in 10th. Pretty big cushion between them. Indiana and Washington are both 3.5 games back of Chicago. So the Bulls will be fighting. They play good teams really well. But, you know, that back-to-back. So if you win both of those, you win Pistons and Pacers. That's 4. If you do that in the Celtics game, nothing else matters.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Nothing else really matters in that situation.
I mean, I think technically Philly would have to lose one more game, but I just can't see them winning out with, you know, playing in Denver and all the other tough games they have remaining. So, I mean, it really comes down to taking care of business. And that's like ignoring the Raptors game. The Grizzlies might be just be locked into 2 by then. I'm not sure how hard they're going to be playing by then. Let's see. Yeah, they've got 3 games up on Sacramento right now, and there are 2 games, but they're 3 back from Denver. So there's a world where they're just locked in. The Kings we're on a little bit of a slide. Who else do they play in this run? Pistons obviously don't care about life. The Pacers,
they're fighting.
They're fighting. They're just not good enough, unfortunately.
They're 2.5 back of the Bulls.
3.5.
3.5, yes, excuse me.
So, you know, I don't think they'll have totally given up by then. I just kind of think this is where they're at. Like, they're young. They'll probably just play it out. So that one probably won't matter. Celtics, obviously, and Sixers will be playing. Wizards may be done. Bulls will be playing. The Grizzlies, maybe not. And then the Raptors, that last game of the year, the Jrue Holiday 1-minute memorial game. The Raptors are still fighting to get to the top half of the play-in, so they'll probably be playing too, depending on what happens between now and them with Atlanta. But they are currently tied. So all 3 of Atlanta, Toronto, Chicago are still very much in play for 8, which is a major – 9-8 is a huge move because you go from having to win 2 to only having to win 1 to get in. For anyone who doesn't know, somebody actually asked me yesterday, my buddy Cole, shout out Cole, is like, how does a play-in work again? Because thankfully the Bucks haven't had to deal with this crap. So 7 and 8 play. The winner is 7. Done. And the loser plays the winner of 9 and 10 for the 8th seed. So if you're 9 and 10, you need to win 2 in a row. If you're 7 or 8, you need to win 1 out of 2 and you're in the playoffs. Your prize for this is playing Milwaukee and Boston or Philly. So, you know, good luck. It's not like you know, it's good to be in the playoffs, get that gate revenue, everything else.
I was going to say, they want that gate revenue.
They do. They really do. It's a big deal to get that gate revenue. But yeah, so probably not going to go on a run. But in the West, on the other hand, you know, Minnesota, New Orleans, the Lakers, and the Thunder are in the play-in. That the West is just, the first round of the West is just going to be insane right now.
Yeah, Dallas is a game out of the play-in right now.
They're done.
And they owe their pick to the Knicks, top 10 protected, I believe.
Yep. Yep. So they really want to fall even more. It would be hilarious if they had like the 11th pick. That's not what I'm rooting for.
That would be so funny.
Luka to Milwaukee is alive.
They are speed running the Kyrie disaster.
Yeah. Well, they had to. They knew they didn't have much time, so they're getting it all out of the way right now.
Because this is the fastest it's ever gone.
Yeah.
Like, did you usually see his quote the honeymoon the other day? Here. Yeah.
When they got booed. Mm. He's like, if you want to trade places with me, it's gonna take a lot of training. It's like you just have no concept of self.
Or for someone who tweets. No. I think Kyrie is saying that you should listen to experts in their field.
Wow. A novel concept. Do you see all the Facebook boomer memes he tweeted on Saturday morning? Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm addicted to Skype, Ty.
I can't get enough Skype. It was that stupid pill meme. Oh, that's I'm a bad addicted Photoshop to Pinterest. For me. But yeah, it's like the guy eating the pills and social media. And it's like Facebook, WhatsApp, Skype, Pinterest. It's like, okay, man. What a loser. I'm really rooting for LA, one of LA or the Thunder to be 7-8, which right now isn't possible. But LA and the Thunder are both half game back of New Orleans, so still a lot of movement.
Hey, according there. To we get those tweet notifications about LeBron getting moved to six in the Lakers being the sixth best odds in the West per sportsbook, whatever. Thanks to Shams.
Yeah, I won't say what it. No free ads. Oh, totally. That is. The Kings are being a little disrespected, even though I don't believe in them. So I guess I'm disrespecting them too. That's got to be. It's got
to
be the
this
other
team I'm about to disrespect is getting disrespected.
Yeah, I mean they have to be seventh, right? The top five are the other top six seeds, and then Lakers, and then Kings. I'm guessing.
I think the Kings should be favored in their first round matchup. They're slated to play the Warriors.
They're slated to play the Warriors.
Ah shit.
Yeah, okay. That's the problem. It's like. All right. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, without Wiggins, who knows?
I just see Draymond.
The Warriors would need to win a game on the road. In that
I know. That's the hardest part for them. That's why I'm that is a movable force meeting a stoppable object, and I don't know how it goes. And the Kings have been really good on the road, but not as good at home. So that might play into the Warriors' hands.
Yeah,
Beam team
22-14 on the road, 23-15 at home.
Yeah, they've basically been the same. I mean, it's good to be a good road team, but they haven't been the same kind of home team as a lot of these other.
You know what's going under the radar is Denver being a 500 team on the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's altitude is malarkey.
Yeah, the Grizzlies being below 500 on the road.
The only team above, oh no, now the Clippers are. They won another game on the road. It was the Kings for most of the season. Now the Clippers are one game over 500 on the road. The Warriors are going to maybe have a symmetrical home and road season. 30-8 at home, 9-29 on the road. No way this has ever been done.
No, no way.
Defending champions are maybe going to win 10 road games all year.
10.
I can't. Ridiculous. Bucks should have given them that ninth home loss too. They could have been basically even. They would have been even right now if the Bucks had not fallen apart at the end of that game.
Yeah.
Or if Giannis had played.
That's also true.
Yeah, the West is. Are you worried about any team coming out of the West in the finals?
I think the favorite has to be Phoenix.
Are they going to play together at all? Are they ever going to stop whining? I think they're going to lose in one of the first three rounds because I can't trust a team that whines this much.
They whine a lot.
It's incessant. And they don't address their own problems. And they never have. And I'm sick of them, honestly. Like, I wasn't.
Rim pressure leads to zero free throws, leads to Monty Williams just like answering
every
one
night. Every night. Game. It's like, it's not just the Bucks anymore.
Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, hey, why does this keep happening?
On the Hoop Collective, I think Windhorse was like, they know they foul too much. It's like, well, maybe they should take some accountability instead of just whining about the anti-Phoenix conspiracy. Like, oh, yeah, the NBA loves it when Sacramento and Milwaukee and whoever else is getting more free throws than the Phoenix Suns. That's, of course, that's the NBA hates Phoenix for some reason. That's why Kevin Durant is playing basketball there now, because the NBA hates Phoenix so much.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but somehow they might be the favorite to come out of the West.
I don't believe in them. I think they're going to get out physical. I think it's going to be really hard to win a game in Denver. Even though Denver's been super uninspiring, I just think I almost think they have to go. But honestly, I kind of like Denver just because they are the one seed, and that matters less with how wide open this conference is. But knowing that they'll have home court every round, and that could just swing it. Like, that They might win like two game sevens to get through the West, but they have them in their house. It's really hard to beat them there, as Milwaukee learned over the weekend. So I like Denver. I don't think
Can
anyone
else. Can
you
imagine if Zion comes back for a first round series against the Nuggets?
That would be hilarious. I wouldn't be that worried about that for Denver.
No.
That shouldn't be concerning. The Lakers, it's lining up a little bit. I see why they're top six in odds. I know they just lost to the Bulls. I know they're not that good. Austin Reeves having
Pat
a moment.
Pat Bev did the too small to LeBron, so that's
hilarious. Austin Reeves is actually kind of good. He's not as good as the press he's getting, and I know why people are upset.
He's a foul merchant.
He's a foul merchant, but he's effective. AD is playing games again, which is rare. LeBron is playing games again, which has been rare. I wouldn't want them in the first round. Like, if we would be pissed if this happened to the Bucks, for sure. Like, that's an annoying first round. I mean, we're talking about Atlanta Hawks and Toronto Raptors and Chicago Bulls. And Denver's reward for being the best team in the West this season is going to be
LeBron James.
LeBron and AD and Austin Reeves, the third member of their big three. If Malik Beasley ever hits a three, their Lakers fans are hating on his son's birthday post.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, get a grip. I know no one who does that is listening to this, but like,
yeah, for sure. It's Lakers fans.
It's ridiculous.
The Thunder are going to have a fun first round series too, if they get in.
Yeah.
They're not deep enough at all. They should have traded for a big guy. I think they could have been a real playoff
team. I think next
year
is their year to do that.
Well, yeah. I mean, with Chet, I love Chet. There's their big guy, but I think they need some more depth too. But they have 8 million picks, so it shouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah, they'll be able to bring Chet, and they'll be able to have Luka.
That would be terrifying, dude. They would rampage through the league. Shea, Luka, J-Dub.
And Chet.
Yeah. Insane team.
You might have to give up J-Dub.
They have 35 picks.
Yeah, but you still have to give up a player.
I'm not giving up J-Dub.
For Luka?
I'm going to get him otherwise. They have 30 picks.
That's fair.
Just give up anyone else.
Do you rather give up Chet or J-Dub?
Chet.
Yeah.
I don't trust the big guy with the already.
And it's also like, what could this be? It could be a boat.
Yeah. I know J-Dub is good. Like, give Dallas loves their white guys too. Like, Dallas, Cuban would
That's
be thrilled.
True.
Cuban would be over the moon.
That is true.
They would do the Dirk comparisons day one. They play nothing alike. They'd be like, this is our new Dirk. Luka was also this, but we blew it. So now we have new Dirk again.
Oh, man. Let's get a little white point guard. We got Nash and Dirk again.
TJ McConnell, free agent.
TJ McConnell is the new Steve.
If they get an MLK game, MLK Jr. game, he will look like Nash for one game, or Kid or whatever for one game. He looks like freaking Magic Johnson for one game.
That's true. Do we have anything else we need to touch on here?
I don't know. The injury report. I mentioned it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I probably should have done this before we did this meandering standings watch around the whole league. Jay Crowder and Goran Dragic have been moved to probable for Monday's game against Detroit. So pretty big news.
We might get to see Dragic play in a Milwaukee Bucks uniform.
For the first time. That's pretty exciting.
It is. Oh. He's gonna do like old man Griff things against the Pistons.
And I'll take it. This is what I mean, though. The reinforcements for these back-to-backs are a big deal, because I think Drew has looked like he could maybe use a night off some of these times. Like, let Drew sit one of these games. Maybe Indiana makes sense for that. And you could still have Javon and Dragic and Ingles to man the point position. Also, Ingles again played both halves of a back-to-back. I mean, nobody for the Bucks looked good, so wasn't great tape for him, but notable to see at least.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting for sure, but it's like, I think in the Pistons game, you get a lot of the worst guys, the back end guys playing just because it's the Pistons. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to see a Giannis rest day.
I think they'll probably try and play him like a half.
Yeah.
I mean, the injury report, actually he is on it, right? I think he's probable.
I think so.
Right now, which that could be a gateway drug to not playing. Let's see the latest report. Yeah, Giannis.
That's Bud's gateway.
It's his gateway drug. Myers Leonard still out with left calf soreness, but probable Giannis, Crowder, Dragic.
Buttless Giannis is probable. He's like, this is a little too much for me, Dave.
I'm reading an interview with Embiid just dropped on The Athletic.
Oh boy.
About MVP and everything.
Of course, because he's the only one that talks about it.
He's saying he just wants to win.
That's not true at all. He wants to win MVP so badly.
Oh, he doesn't agree that he got off to a slow start.
He did, though. Like, you cannot agree, but you can also
just said it and then said he doesn't agree with it.
Nice.
He talked about when he could have stat padded and when he didn't want to. He's focused on winning. He agreed with Giannis that the criteria is changing. It's Shams. This is propaganda, but
absolute propaganda. But yeah,
I'm sick of MVP though as well. I'm just tired of hearing about it.
I don't like. I was even. We talked about this a little like a month or so ago, and I was like, I just want to see not Embiid win it. And at this point, I don't care anymore.
Yeah, I think I've just been beaten down.
I just don't care. Like, sure, Embiid have one. I don't care. Can we just fast forward to the playoffs?
How many did LeBron get?
4.
So, yeah, I was thinking about this. I mean, because the one reason I care about it is like Giannis's eventual GOAT case. That's the only thing that matters to me about it anymore. But we've seen these like amazing. I mean, Kobe won once, I think. And he's like pretty consensus top 10 player of all time. So I don't even know how important
Duncan
it is for
won
that.
How many?
2?
Maybe Shaq just won one. Once?
Yeah. So I don't even know how important. I mean, Giannis already has 2. I think GOAT, you probably need probably more than 2.
Duncan won 2.
So, but I mean, to be a top 10 player, you need 1 or 2 probably. So I don't even know how important is it. KG is a little below the conversation we're talking about.
I know that. I'm talking best power forward of all time.
Oh yeah. Oh, a good lens. Okay. But yeah, I think the championships matter more, and that's clearly the goal for the Bucks and for Giannis and. Obviously, that's what we want to see more. I mean, you know, MVP is cool, but people remember who holds the finals MVP trophy a lot more. So that's why the one seed, as we agreed earlier, this pod is so important. Beating Boston and just taking care of business in other games is so important. So it's great to see. And Crowder, we had missed Crowder for a while. I think some people were starting to get pretty concerned. Bud spoke on it like it wasn't going to be that serious. And I feel like they usually don't bring people back in the middle of a road trip most of the time. So not that surprised he doesn't play in Utah or Denver, but excited to see him back and really hope he's going to be – maybe he gets that Indiana game off so he's fresh for Boston. Who knows? But that's, of course, going to be probably like the Jay Crowder matchup, right, is the Celtics. That's when you need him the absolute most. So really excited for that game and to see that the injury report coming together. Hopefully Leonard can get back. Having that reserve center would be nice down the stretch too. But we've seen these guys just miss some time with calf soreness. Don't know what's really going on there. If it's just like all random, unrelated, but the same injury or what. But hopefully he's able to get back. And have we ever had a fully clean injury report? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Imagine the first one is like the last week of the year. That's the time you'd want it, though.
Yeah, or the first game of the playoffs. And they're like, okay, we're ready. We're here. Yeah. We're ready to go. April 15th, Ty, it's creeping up on us.
It is. Extra rest with the play-in helps too, by the way. If anyone concerned about pushing for that one seed, it could not be more worth it this year.
For sure. 100%. It's crazy that we're winding down, Ty. We got 19 days till the postseason starts. It's crazy.
So next time we typically record, we'll have to figure it out because it's a big weekend for us. But after, you know, if we record like sometime on Monday, there's going to be 4 games left and we will, the next Eurostep, we will definitively know a lot more about how the Bucks season is shaping up because
for sure,
half of the games are now done, the remaining games, and Boston and Philly are done. So just a huge, huge week coming up. I mean, this week really will define their chase for the one seed. They can do it even if they lose some of these marquee games, but the margin gets a lot tighter. So huge week in Bucks basketball coming up, and I'm glad that they should be mostly healthy for it. Knock on wood.
They should be. They should be for sure. Hopefully they are not getting like some weird massage therapist is all messing up their left caps on purpose. That's obviously a joke. But Hopefully nothing's weird that's going on there.
Yeah.
That's a weird. That's one of the weirest things. Yeah. I like to say something at the end. That's one of the weirdest things I've ever said at the end. But thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on Blue Wire and GSPN. Make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast platform.
You know where you should be listening? Repod. Sure.
Repod. Yes.
Our friends at Repod, podcast platform, community discussion hub. Great stuff at Repod. So check that out. The link is at the GSPN.info. And we know a lot of people are already using Repod because we've been talking about them. But just a reminder that Repod is great.
For sure. For sure. Make sure you check us out on Repod. But yeah, wherever you're listening or watching on YouTube, make sure you subscribe. Leave a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. Check out GSPN.info for all our links. Reminder, Pilot Project, Tuesday, April 4th, Brewers and Bucks Watch Party. Pod Random. And we will talk to you next time.